What's up, everyone? So today we're talking to Roach. We've came up with this new kind of podcast, which is going to be labeled Darknet Discussions. Roach is the second person in this podcast who's going to be managing the site and dealing with all of that. So
what's up, everybody?
What's up, Roach? How are you doing today?
Chilling, little human out.
Roach has extensive experience in the darknet, almost arguably more experience than I have. This alt that he's using is not his real alt. We're not going to talk about that, but he's definitely qualified to be on here. He's taught me a lot.
So that's it. And he almost this time in the game.
So the first thing I wanted to cover, or rather the first thing that we have on itinerary, was the ASAP admin coming back. Did you want to kick that off?
Well, yeah, homie popped his head out of nowhere, so that's pretty interesting, I think. Site went down, and 9 months later, he pops his head back up, so I figured that's a perfect place to start off.
So I noticed, Andre, the message wasn't signed or anything. Do you think that kind of takes away from the credibility, or what are your thoughts on it?
No, that's the real guy, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. He was that actually one of the mods. I don't think he was the admin. He was the mods.
Yeah, I noticed there's a crazy amount of awards on that particular thread.
Well, I mean, I don't know why. dude just came back to say, "Hey, we ain't coming back." It's like nobody was waiting for you, bro.
From what I seen, it was posted like 17 hours ago, and people like awarded the hell out of it, or maybe that's. Like his alt awarding himself. I don't know. That was the first thing that caught my mind. And the 44 upvotes at the time I looked at it, I was like, damn, like this thing got upvoted like crazy. And he's like you said, he's basically saying, we're not coming back. And it's just a crazy amount of upvotes and a crazy amount of awards.
And I'm like, what? And somebody robbed us for 4.6.
I saw that too. They talk about how they repaid everything, which is crazy. I've never heard of a market do that. I mean, It's cool to see some kind of integrity, though.
So they say. I mean, there's multiple, suspicions of why they closed. But hey, if they want to say they got robbed for 4.6.
Yep. It was definitely interesting seeing the reaction of the community. So a lot of people were actually happy with the post.
I mean, I don't know why four, but I guess it makes news.
What'd you think of the archetype admin in there?
Yeah, dude, taking bets on when is he's gonna get busted or how is he gonna retire? Shout out to Yoshi, the guy's a really funny guy. He's like going around everywhere. He's like, am I gonna get busted or am I gonna exit? Let's put money.
It's like one of the two, right? I mean, it's not like we see 20. Or like 10-year-old markets.
Right. But ASAP wasn't even like, I don't even think it was like, there was nothing really too like jaw-dropping about it. They ran it clean and stuff, but I don't know. The market kind of looked like shit to me, but why to say anything?
So what we have next? We had the Octopus video.
Yeah, so tell me about that. How did that come along?
So Octopus is crazy. Right? I think that's a pretty known consensus around the campfire. So when I'd seen that, I was like, wow, like, I wonder, I always saw stuff like that. And I would always be like, I wish people from the darknet community could respond on the clearnet to some of these people who make videos about dumb stuff like mystery boxes and red rooms and all that.
Yeah.
There's a ton of propaganda out there. I mean, like, if I was to ask you, like, what some of the stuff that aggravates you that you've seen.
Right.
What would some of that be?
Trying to talk about some, like, computer shit that they don't know about or acting like they've done shit in the game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. People trying to gaslight people. I can definitely see that being a aggravating one.
Oh, sorry. I was about to say, do you think he's made any drone drops?
I have no clue. Or if he's even planning on it. Maybe the thing was just a big put on.
It could be. I can see a lot of customers not wanting it.
For sure.
I mean, obviously he's trying to do something new and put something out there. But if you got a message saying that, hey, there's a drone coming to your fucking house dropping out drugs, I would be like, yo, cancel that shit.
I wouldn't want it.
I don't live there. I don't know. Just
and like if I dispute that order, how are you proving it? Because like, at least with like USPS, you can say, hey, listen, no, your package was delivered at 12:09. They left it on the front porch on Thursday.
Right.
I have the tracking number. I mean,
yeah, they could. Or they could just, I know around here in this part, it's like somebody just shoot the drone out of the sky and keep on drugs. But people be plotting.
Instead of a USPS employee, it's people blasting drones out of the sky.
But yeah, I mean, it's a cool idea. It's just maybe it's a little too far ahead. Like maybe in the future. Because like unlike the Russian sites and stuff, like they don't do it by mail. Because apparently like the Russian mail, the shit's like really bad. Yep. So they do the location.
Okay.
And yeah, then like you'll go to some fucking park, dig underneath some snow, and there's like a brick of fucking coke.
Sure, no shit. So it's like the CIA. It's like the CIA kind of exchange with like double blind drops or dead drops.
Right, the dead drops and stuff. Which,
no shit,
that wouldn't work over here, but I guess it works over there. But trying to do something different, I mean, you tip your hat to the guy, but I mean, I just don't see many people wanting something. Because everybody's paranoid to begin with.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone's super paranoid, on edge and shit. People read posts and stuff about people waiting for their, looking out the window 10 times a day, see if the postman's out there.
Especially like first time buyer anxiety.
Yeah, first time buyer anxiety and all that. And then a drone comes, like, I could see a bunch of people tripping. I just want to know if he's actually done one.
It'd definitely be interesting. I'd love to hear his input on that.
I was kind of hoping that there would be like a response video on it, but I don't think, from the other guy. But I guess the guy put his stuff out there, you know?
So the other thing that we had on this list was Milky.
Oh, Monopoly. Like,
to people who don't know. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Melmar de Cinca. So yeah, it was on the ASAP thing. They were talking about, well, one, the around the back rooms and stuff, everyone's asking, which gang is he going to join? Is he going to go straight AB? Or would they even allow him? But I think a lot of people just want to know, like, and you've been in this position. Like, he's just got sentenced in his first month, and he's at Fort Dix, or whatever it's called. How is that like?
I don't know.
Yeah, so Fort Dix, they have, I think off the top of my head, they have a low and they have a minimum security camp. So with the low, I think they have east side and west side, if I remember right. And there are two like different sides, but there's like all in all in the low, there's like 5,000 inmates total that you can have. Like that's their capacity.
Right.
And as far as I know, like Fort Dix is wild, man. Like I know I had a buddy who had done some time there, and like they would have the chomos, like the pedophiles basically that had been caught, that would be bringing like their commissary back, and they would get jacked up, like they'd get robbed. So like a lot of them would travel in packs. Like they'd all go, all the chomos would go to commissary and get their shit and then come back. And when they came back, they'd be huddled in like a group, coming back at the same time. And you'd still have dudes that would just run up with like a razor and just run it across their commissary bag. The commissary bag is like net.
Yeah.
It's like a net cloth. So they just run it across the bag and all their crap would fall out.
Right.
And dudes would just start snatching. But Dix is pretty wild. If you look it up, you'll see like a lot of stories of like drone drops. They'll have like drone drops where they have contraband coming in.
Those might be Octopus's next customers.
It's possible, man. The camp that they have, the minimum security, is a lot different from what I've heard. It's like the culture is a lot different there, where the cops are going to be a lot more petty. There's a lot less stuff that's actually allowed. There are some federal prison camps that have wire. Like they'll have actual wire and they'll have a razor wire at the top. Like there are also federal prison camps that don't have any of that stuff, which, like, if I'm going to do time, I would want to be at a federal prison camp with none of the wire, because it lets you take off. Like I've taken off. Like when I get to a minimum security camp, man, I was like, man, I'm out of here. Like, so I would have someone come pick me up once a month. I would take off during the weekend. I would take off for like 8 hours in between counts. I would take off and someone would pick me up on the road. And I would go to like a hotel, chill out, smoke cigarettes, and do all this shit, and then come back. And like a buddy of mine would have a cell phone back at the prison camp, and he would call me if there was an emergency count or something, and I'd have to run back and climb in and shit through the window.
How does that work? Like, you're just like over there by the line, and you just kind of like nudge over one and like into the wood line? Or...
Yeah, so it's like they have a perimeter set up, but there's no fence. So like if what you're doing and you've evaluated how they work, like, because they do drive-bys and like staff do drive-bys. So you have to like time it right. But if you have that timing set next to the prison camp where I was at, there was private property and there happened to be a graveyard. So it was a graveyard for like for service members, people who've been in the military. Okay. So you could take off, you could jet through the graveyard and get picked up and then go out and do whatever you wanted to do and then come back. And all the time, there's dudes that run over to the graveyard at nighttime, grab plastic bags full of contraband, whether it's like cigarettes or cell phones,
weed,
or steak and cheese grinders or weed. Yeah. A lot of times you see a lot of dudes in the minimum security. They're much more careful about bringing in drugs because those dudes don't want to catch another bid.
Right.
Like a lot of them are on the tail end of the bid. Like to even be eligible to go to a minimum security prison camp, you have to have like 10 years or less. You can't be an arsonist. You can't be a pedophile. But like those two things are disqualifiers. So if you have 10 years or less and you don't have either one of those charges, you're eligible to go to this federal prison camp. Like you said, a lot of them, a good amount of them have no fence whatsoever. But some of them, but like with dicks, they do have a fence.
Okay, so it's not like the movie Life where there's like a fucking shoot line. If you pass the line.
No. Like if you try taking off from like a minimum security prison camp, and even if they see you, a lot of the times they're not that BOP cop isn't going to chase you down.
Right.
They're going to just call an emergency count. And if you don't have shit coordinated with your people,
right,
you're going to miss the count. And then if you go past a certain point in that count, like amount of time that you're missing, they're going to qualify you as an escape versus like a walk away.
That's 5 extra years to escape, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you're never going to go to a minimum security prison camp again. And they can, I mean, it's supposed to be a set period of time, but they'll give you whatever they want. And turn around and give you 7 years if you made them look bad enough.
Well,
you
know? Just to clarify, because I know in like Europe and other, because people all over the world have been probably maybe listening to this, but like the difference between state and federal in the United States.
Yeah, there's a massive difference. So with one really good way I explain it to summarize it is if the state will outsource prisoners that they can't handle to the feds.
Right.
But the opposite isn't true, right? Like the feds never are like, hey, we can't handle this guy and give it to a state prisons.
Right.
So you typically have a lot of the most intelligent or the movers and shakers that are going to be there in the feds versus the states. But it's not universal. Like you definitely have insanely dangerous dudes, insanely intelligent dudes too, that run shit in state prisons as well. So it's not a universal truth. It's like people be like, well, the feds are better. And it's a crazy statement because it's like saying a brick house is better than one with vinyl siding.
Right.
It depends on so many things. It depends on how much money was spent to build it. Was the architect good? When was it built? Is it new? Is it old? Like, there's so many variables. You can have a federal prison that is technically better than a state prison, but what's your definition of better? Do you like to mess around? Do you like to have a cell phone? Do you like to smoke weed? Do you like to, like, or do you just like, I just want to follow the rules, do educational programming? Because there's some people that do their time that way too.
Right.
It's like, however you do your time is going to dictate what you like about a certain institution. So asking is federal or state better, or which federal institution is better, again, is all dependent on the individual. But even if we took it out of that context and we said, okay, this dude wants to do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't want to be messed with the cops. He wants to have a cell phone. He wants to be able to smoke a bit of herb whenever he wants. If we said that guy, even that guy is going to have different opinions on which institution, state or federal, is better, or even if we just look at federal, some institutions he's going to like better than others.
Right.
And even that is subject to change because at any point you get a new captain, you get a new warden, you get a new block cop.
Right.
Like, that could drastically change. So when someone's like, this place is awesome, I'm like, well, you could say maybe that's true if you were there in that certain time frame. And we like to do time the same way, then you can say that's true. But otherwise, you really can't apply that across the board. All prisons are different. They're subject to change very easily just by the introduction of new staff, new inmates, new policies. All of that stuff can drastically change a yard almost overnight.
So all that shit they say about, like, they got tennis courts and fucking golf out there at some of these bullshit.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Like, you can, and here's the thing. So check out a federal prison. You can look at it, look at Google Earth,
right.
Zoom in. And what you'll see is none of those tennis courts have nets. You know? None of them. So it's a piece of asphalt that's shaped as a tennis. And like, but like they took away a perks for prisoners bill that got passed. I think the senator's last name began with a Z, but he basically disabled the ability for inmates to have, like, because like they're having like steak dinners, like all you can eat buffet style, like tennis courts, all the stuff that you're talking about. Like, club fed has been something that hasn't existed for a very long time. At this point, feds is kind of like a really crappy county jail,
right,
but you have a better classification system. So like in a county jail, you could have a guy who has no violence on his record. He's a first time offender. And like, they're throwing him in there with a guy who like raped and killed a whole family. Like, in feds, if that dude's already sentenced and like he's a evaded taxes or something, he's probably going to be in a camp. And if he's in a camp, he's not going to be around chomos or people who are convicted of pedophilia, you know what I mean? Or arsonists. He might be around a guy who is violent.
Right.
Because like, you could have a dude who gets 30 years for a really violent crime, and he starts off at a United States penitentiary, a high security prison, works his way down to a medium, then gets to a low, then to a minimum. But like, that dude is not, it's just because he was super violent, like he's not trying to go back to a high security environment. He worked his way down over decades.
Where everybody's stabbing, you know, each other and shit.
Yeah, so he's going to want to stay in that camp.
Right.
So like, it's like, he's going to put him in there. There's a bunch of, he's going to be a bunch of rats that's in there. You're going to have like law enforcement are going to be there.
A bunch of dumb, good ass dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Bunch of bullshit ass dudes. Yeah.
The thing about this whole thing too is about prisons. Like, a lot of the dudes you're going to meet, even the dudes that are classified as good, aren't.
Right.
Like, I met a ton of solid white guys who didn't rat on their case, who like they were seen in prison. They're seen as good dudes.
Right.
But like, there's straight crackheads on the street that would rob you, you know, cut you for some shoelaces, or like, it's so good dudes is a very relative term.
Right.
And then you have dudes who are good dudes that they didn't tell on their case, but like, they're telling on dudes in the institution. They're institutional hot.
Right. Institutionalized, right? Yeah.
No, I mean like you had dudes that are institutionalized, but you have dudes who didn't tell on their case, and like, they've been in feds for 15 years, and they've broken them, because that's the point of the system.
Right.
And these dudes are now, they're just completely shattered. Where like, if a CO comes in, they're going to go, and maybe this could be at a low, and they're going to go and see them politicking and talking to the cop like they're best friends. And like, they're the dudes that are writing, we're jotting shit down and throwing it in the mailbox, like, oh, so and so has K2, or like they're telling on dudes,
right,
you know. And these dudes, so it's crazy. That's why, like, in a lot of the higher security facilities, like, if I'm going to write to staff, right, like, maybe I want a medical appointment, I'll write out to staff, like, whatever it is, and then I'll show it to you. I'll be like, this is what I'm going to go drop in the box. You'll read it and you'll be like, all right, cool. That way, if I drop it in the box and tomorrow someone gets popped and someone tries saying some shit, like, oh yeah, Sam, we've seen Sam drop a note in the mailbox. And I can be like, yeah, I did. Yeah. And I can ask, you know, here's my homeboy. You know, what did it say?
Right.
Oh, it was for he wanted to go to medical to have a tooth removed or something, something like that. You have some kind of verification and backup in doing it like that, you know.
But for clarification, like if you're hustling on the darknet and you're making bread, like, and you get popped, you're going to the feds. Like, you're not going to do state.
Yeah, the difference between it is with the state, you go to state for violating the laws of the state. With feds, you go to for violating the laws of America. So
the two different styles.
Yeah, a lot of the Jews out there are get money dudes. So they're dudes who made money over state lines or international lines, and that's why they're there. The majority, like, you could meet a child molester at a state prison, and then you could meet one in feds. The difference between the two is the guy in feds was distributing it or making money off of it or transmitting it nationally or internationally.
Okay. Jeez. Fuck those type of guys. But so for like a Milky's case or Monopoly, in his case, he was a Serbian. Like I think they caught him in Austria somewhere.
Yep.
Like his site went down and then he was like free for a little bit. And then like they busted him like a couple months later. And then they fucking technically kidnapped Tony and then brought him to the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Pablo Escobar was like, is that saying on Twitter, fuck around and find out? They get sick of it after a while. And that's kind of how it is. Like it's if you're going to do something illegal and like the feds in the U.S. want you,
right?
Good luck. It's not going to be good for you.
So like, how would like the Con Air work? Like, would they like stop in like London or like, I mean, I know they do to like maybe stop in like the army base and like refuel in like Germany and then haul ass over, or like, how does the international Con Air?
No clue. I've never been on it.
Or like regular Con Air.
Yeah. So a lot of that stuff like depends on how bad you mess with them. Like if I'm like writing up cops, right? Like, let's say there's a cop that he tosses my spot, messes my stuff up every day. And I start like writing him up. Like, maybe I've studied their rules and regulations and I know them better than him, which is true for a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
So if I start writing him up saying, I don't like what he did, this is what he did, this is how he screwed up, and basically writing the cop up for policy violations. Ooh, a great example I saw one time was they had a couple of Muslims, and these Muslims would go and they would pray. And like, they all pray together in the rec room. They don't bother anyone. No one messes with them. Like, they go off, they do their thing, they do their prayers. But there was like a cop that came in that just didn't like them for whatever reason.
Right.
So what happened was he went in the middle of them praying and he was like, get out of here. You can't do this. He was like, I'm classifying it as gang activity because it's more than three people or whatever. And they were like, we're praying. And he's like, I don't care. Kicked him out. So he kicks him out. Then he starts going in and searching them just all the time. Every time he's on shift, he's hitting them on the head, or he's going and he's searching the dude's cells next to them and saying, I'm searching your cell because of dude.
Right.
So
damn.
So you tell homeboy next to you not to have an attitude next time.
Right.
I'm messing up your stuff because he wanted to talk back. Like, punk ass, like little stuff like that is the stuff they do. So what they start doing is like, they're like, well, we're gonna write this up because you telling us we can't pray together, like, that's how our religion, that's what we do. We pray together.
Right.
So it's a violation of our religious freedom. So they write this up. It takes, now when you do this, you file a grievance. They're going to file this grievance as a BP8 or a BP9, and they're going to file it describing what happened, describing how it's wrong. And they're going to file it, and it's going to go to like to their unit counselor. Then if the counselor doesn't fix it, it goes to the warden. Then if the warden agrees with the counselor, Now each one of these steps is anywhere from a day to a month process.
Right.
So it goes to the warden. If the warden says, no, I don't care, sends it back to the inmate appeals it and sends it to the district command. So like the Northeast would be like all of New England.
Right.
So they, excuse me, they send it to the, like the regional office or like New England office. Now, if regional says, yeah, we agree with the warden, they send it back again. Then it goes to central office, which is in DC, which controls all of the regions, which controls all the prisons and so on and so forth. Now, if it gets to DC and DC's like, no, then what happens is now you've exhausted, it's called administrative remedies. You've exhausted your administrative remedies. Now, because you've went through every layer of authority in the federal prison system, now you can go and bring this case to court.
Okay.
But this is mandatory if you want to bring it to court. And we're talking about a 6 to 8 month process for you to even be seen by a judge.
Okay. Yeah. So they're doing people dirty.
And you have to factor the whole time this is happening, your cell's getting messed up. They're like, oh, the cop's opening up your coffee, dumping it in the toilet, flushing your stamps, like losing your property, all this other stuff. And like, they can mess with you in other ways too.
Stamps
like,
is money, you know, too, right? Stamps is the little
for sure. Yeah. But they could absolutely screw with you in other ways. They'd spread rumors. Like they could do anything. It's their system. So now you have like these guys, and this is a true story. These guys go 6-8 months. Finally, they get their court date. So when you get a court date in feds, they're not actually paying to bus you to the court. You're going to hop on a phone line and talk to them. And your counselor, like the counsel of the BOP staff member, is going to be standing there in front of you, watching you, listening to the whole thing.
Right.
So
they're checking their ass, they're making sure that they're right.
Yeah. And it's a form of intimidation. They're going to stand there and like, go ahead and say something fucked up about us. You know what I mean? because what can happen is like, when that call ends, that BOP staff member can be like, oh, you're looking at me in a threatening manner. And that's an actual infraction called reckless eyeballing in feds, where they'll go and they'll write you a ticket. And like, that can be you going to solitary for that. Or it could be them taking away good time, or it could be them taking away your next visit. There's a million different ways they have to screw with you. So these guys, after 6 to 8 months, finally get the ability to go into court, and the BOP grabs them all up, sends them to solitary, and ships them out to prisons all across the country.
Right.
So these guys, their court date comes, and they're all in transit, which means none of them are actually going to be talking about anything.
Right.
So they're in transit, but I mean, if they were called to testify, the BOP would have to make them available. But what happens now is the government attorney for the Bureau of Prisons stands up and says, Your Honor, these inmates had a problem with this correctional officer at this prison. These inmates are no longer at this prison. So this entire conversation is moot. Means legally, there's no basis for us to even continue any further, right? Because these guys are never going to have this issue again.
Fuck off and don't write me again, right?
So, like, these, now, keep in mind, these dudes are put into transport, and they're given what's called diesel therapy. So they're going to be shipped from one prison to another, to another, to another. So, like, if they could put these guys on a plane, like, let's say these guys are in Connecticut, and they want to ship them to Cali. They could, one bus ride, have them on a plane, right? And have that plane fly to Cali. But instead, because you wanted to play games with the staff and you wanted to complain, what they're going to do is they're going to put you on bus transfers going from the East Coast to the West Coast, which means you're not going to see your family. You're not going to talk to anyone. You're going to be in solitary between those transports the entire time. You're going to be on the bus with dudes shitting and pissing themselves for the next 3 months. You chained up.
It's almost like the Greyhound.
And that's why they call it diesel therapy.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a way, like, you want to play games? This is how we play games. So they, like, you have that back and forth. But like, there are people that come in who, like, they'll come in and they've never done time, or they, like, they've done time at different places, and they come in and they're like, oh, like, they can't do that. They can't do this. And it's like, dude, like, good luck. Why don't you tell them that? Like,
so,
but then you have other spots too where it's the opposite,
right?
Where you're going to have like a cop's going to come in and he's not going to go search a cell, because like if he goes and he just searches a cell, so like he might die. Like, dude's my body. I'm like, you've had inmates in the past who have killed staff for going in and searching their cell. And like at the end of the day, you could have a dude that just has a bad day. Maybe his mom dies, you know, like, and he just gets to a point where he doesn't care. And he's in a high security facility to begin with. So you have cops in some facilities that just stay in their bubble, stay in there. They call it a bubble. And it's just like a glass and chicken wire metal box kind of that they have that allows them to see out on the unit. But that cop might not actually go out and do rounds throughout the day because it might be hazardous to his health to do that. So he's like, if I go and search someone's cell, is it worth dying for? It's like, you'll see staff stand by. Well, you'll have two inmates who get into it, and one dude will be stabbing the other dude, and the staff will just wait till he's done in some cases because they're like, oh, we're not going to risk our lives for what, this prisoner?
$12 an hour?
That's the kind of world you're in. But at the same time, it's you also depending, it's a big topic, the idea of federal prisons and whatnot. And like with like the thing that I hear a lot is like, well, if you are a white collar guy, or if you're like a dark net market admin, or you're a dark net market vendor, like what's prison going to be like for you? And it's like, well, it depends on who you are. If you're entitled, or if you think you're better than people, or like if you're disrespectful, it's gonna suck for you. Like, and you're gonna learn real quick not to be like that, or you're gonna be in the hospital, or there's a wide range of possibilities. But a lot of people are gonna go in there, and there's an expectation for you to be a man.
Right.
So I had watched a video one time where Chad Marks, who's a YouTuber, he has a channel called Blood on the Razor Wire TV, which is great.
I love it. I like watching this stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. So he interviewed a darknet vendor one time who is about to go into feds. And like this kid was a hardened criminal. He had no concept of reality of where he was actually going. And like, I remember Chad asking him, like, if you have a dude that comes in, when he comes in with a knife or whatever, and he's like, give up those shoes or whatever the demand is. Give me your shoes or give me whatever. You're going to buy commissary for me. Like, and Chad asked the kid, he's like, you know, what are you going to do? And the kid was like, oh, I guess I'd have to give it to him.
Oh.
And I was like, oh man, this kid is so done. Like, but I mean, it was like, it's his first offense. So like, he's going to a camp. So no one's going to be putting a knife to him, like trying to press him like that. Again, because the people at the camp, they're not trying to go to a medium or a low. Like, they're happy at that camp. And they've either worked their way down or they've got bad paperwork or whatever. Like, they're snitches or they're ex-police. So, like, they definitely are not trying to go up in severity. Now, there are people who will. There have been cases in the past where people have gotten stabbed at camps. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's just something that's not really normal. But my old point is, like, a lot of the times, and again, it depends on who you meet, depends on who you are, how you are, what your case is, what the atmosphere is on the yard, on the compound that you're in at that time. Like, there's a million different variables that go into it. There's no blank slate that you can say it's always going to be like this, but it's good to act like a man. And a lot of times you get treated like a man as long as, again, you have good paperwork. You're not a piece of trash. You're not like, if you bump into someone and like you don't bother saying excuse me, that could be a real problem.
Right.
In a medium, it could be a death sentence in a pen.
So, but for like, okay, so like, I just know that the gavel dropped on Monopoly was like maybe a month or something. So he's already in. Like, what's the transfer like? Like, how's that going? Like, his first month. I've already heard. Yeah. Kind of heard that he's already had to run the one. So, but
so if you go, so if you, so the first thing that, so you go from a lot of the times dudes that are in there for stuff like this, they're going to be self surrenders. So the prison and the penal system isn't going to be like, we're not going to spend money locking this guy up. We're going to, like, you're going to be released. And then we're going to say, hey, on this day, you have to come turn yourself in to this prison.
Oh, so he was out for a little bit. Like, they took him out here and then let him go.
So that's the case with a lot of, like, white collar criminals, with nonviolent criminals. That's the case for a lot of them. If there is, like, with him, because he was brought in, that probably wasn't the case. So he probably went to county or something like that for a little bit until they got him that conviction, or he went to, like, MDC, where they, like, they held him until he was convicted, and then they ship him off. But, like, for a lot of, like, the nonviolent or the white collar dudes, you're going to come in from the streets. You're going to self-surrender. When you self-surrender, they're going to give you a TB test, and, like, it's a little shot they give you, and then they wait 72 hours. But you're going to be held in solitary. So it's a thing they do to screw with people's minds, because you're going from freedom of the streets to maximum security. And it instantly sets a tone of, you know very, very well, like, you come in, you self-surrender, you're going to get stripped out, they're going to send your clothes home or throw them away.
Right.
Those are your choices. So you're going to strip out, they're going to do the cavity search, they're going to do all the, they're going to scan you with an x-ray machine, make sure you don't have anything hidden up your rectum, all this other stuff that they're going to do. They're going to ask you, hey, listen, depending on where you're at, well, I think that's a universal thing, but they're going to be like, hey, like, do you have any known enemies? Did you tell on anyone? Like, are you a sex offender? Like, and like with some yards, they're going to be like, hey, listen, like, if you're a sex offender or if you told on someone, you're going to want to tell us, because if you go out there and you don't tell us, you could die.
Right.
So it's with other prisons, they're just going to be like, are you a sex offender? And if the dude's like, yeah, they're like, okay, have a nice day. And they process them in. But when you come in, you're going to go to solitary. So, like, you get searched out, all that stuff. Then you go to max, you go to solitary or SHU, and they're going to process you all over again. You're going to strip back out. You're going to get, and, like, then they're going to give you your TB test, and you're going to get stuck in a cell. And then now with COVID, last time I heard, they had a 14-day waiting period. So you're going to go, you're going to be in SHU or solitary for at least 14 days. And then they'll test you. If you're positive, we'll see you in another 14 days. If you're negative, they'll bring you out, bring you to whatever unit you're going to be in. Then you activate your phone, you activate your email, all that kind of stuff. And you're going to meet, like, the people that you're going to be doing time with. So, I mean, that's how it goes. Usually you're going to go in there, like you'll go in there. And if I'm from Mass, I'm a Boston guy, and you're from Mass, or like, you're just you're a white dude, like, I'll walk up to you and I'll be like, hey man, what's up? You know, where are you from? And you'd be like, I'm from California. I'd be like, okay, California dudes are over there. And you'll go and you'll meet your homeboys, and they'll deal with you, and they'll, you know, check your paperwork, or they'll tell you, hey, you got so many days to get your paperwork so we can see who you are. Or, like, in some cases, they already know who you are.
Yeah, right.
they know what you did, and they've read all your paperwork, because they have PACER too.
Right.
They have the ability to check your paperwork. So it depends on the yard you're going to, who's on the yard, who's in charge of your car, whatever it may be.
Is there a Russian car or, like, a Serbian car?
I don't know where that dude's gonna fall in. I was a Boston guy, so that's really all I cared about. I hung out with the Boston guys. Like, I didn't really care about anyone else. Like, hey, if there's another car, like, that's their car. That's none of my business.
Right.
And I maintained that disposition of minding my own business. Even in my own car, I mind my own business. Like, at the end of the day, you come in by yourself, you're leaving by yourself. Your job is to get through that process with as much dignity and honor as you can. In my opinion,
right.
That's how I looked at it. So that's what I did. And like I said, everyone does their time differently.
Right.
When every car does, like, has an expectation of people doing their time in different ways. Like, if you're a Sereno, or if you're an AB dude, or you're, like, if you're someone in a gang, the way you do time is going to be exponentially different from the way that I'm going to do it.
Right.
And that's the thing. And that's the crazy thing is because you have cars that are geographical based, where it's location, and then you have cars that are gang based, and then you have a mix of both. Like we had Boston guys who were Hell's Angels. So in that case, the expectation is always going to be, if like a Hell's Angel one is, he hangs out with the Boston guys, and another Hell's Angel is like, hey, you gonna stab that dude that's also a Boston guy that you hang out with every day. Like that's what he's gonna have to do. His allegiance is going to be to that gang before it's to that localized.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes that's just a poor Milky, man. Poor Milky.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone that's in the feds who is there for a nonviolent offense, where there's no, I mean, if you're like with a darknet market admin, with a darknet market vendor, in their PSRs, which is a pre-sentence report, it's a document that outlines your entire life, and they use it for sentencing purposes. So in his PSR, if he didn't try to have someone killed or anything, to be reminiscent of another darknet market admin, then he's going to have in his PSR, it's going to say victim, and it's going to say none. So even the federal government agrees that drug trafficking on the dark net, I'm not talking about in real life, drug trafficking on the dark net is a victimless crime. And that is that's not my opinion. That is what the federal government states in their own documentation when looking at sentencing for individuals. Now, that's what they put in the PSR. When time comes for the sentencing, obviously, that's not going to be the belief of the judge or the United States attorney. They're going to be like, you distributed narcotics over a large scale network. Like with me, they were like, you sold drugs on a national level, and it might not have affected the community that you're in, but you poisoned all these other communities by doing this.
Right.
So you still have victims, but they won't actually list it. It's like them giving Ross life, and they're like, well, look, he tried to have these people hit, but they didn't actually charge him with it. And it's like, well, if you didn't actually charge him with it, how can you sentence him for it? And the answer is because they run the system. It's the same reason why they have a 99% conviction rate. Like, it's like, we're gonna play chess, but I'm gonna tell you that all my pawns are queens, and if you get me in checkmate, I get to reset three times. Like you're never going to win.
Yeah.
And that's the system that they're in. And this system has been built and orchestrated in a very careful way for over 100 years to always win. And that's why the stats speak for themselves when you see them. It's also why we have a ridiculous incarceration rate of, we have 25% of the world's prisoners, but 5% of the world's population.
Right.
Which is nuts. Like, we might talk bad about other countries, or China and Russia, but at the same time, like, we incarcerate more of our own citizens than they ever have in the history of the world.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really unfortunate and dystopian, in my opinion, but that's how it is. But that's what it is. And what's crazy is I would still rather live here than any other country, because as crazy as it is, we're still a lot more free. I go to China, I'm a Chinese citizen. I speak out against the government like I do regularly on my YouTube channel. Like, I'm not making any more YouTube.
It's not.
Right? Like, my social credit score is gone.
I've heard from like some Russian counterparts and stuff that like the prisons out there are fucking brutal too.
In Russia.
Yep. The only one I saw featured was I think it was called Black Dolphin.
Oh yeah, that's when everybody sees, yeah, where they fucking march them around, like almost sucking their cocks and shit. Like, had a hand on their back, and like, that's just gotta suck, man. Dogs screaming at them.
Yeah.
And what's sure. What's cold up in.
What's cold?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, that was enlightening.
So, I think the next topic that we had was Cypher closing with exit scam.
Cypher admins, a bunch of busters. And I'm just gonna go ahead and say it, man. Like, Cypher and Rootless and Codeless, they're all the same guy. I'm telling you, because I used to, their market was so bad when they first came out, and I would submit bug bounties. Like, not even that long ago, I was able to, like, what was it, like, mimic the going around as an admin or finding a popular vendor and then making an account with under their name. And just, like, I made a whole video, I showed them and everything, and the dude was just like, I was just going around impersonating you as an admin. He's like, oh, yeah, here's $300. I was like, I don't want it. You keep your $300, you little bro boy. But yeah, I say with Cypher, hey, good riddance. Like, it was the Ekmar market. It was like a heavily added version.
Script. Yep.
He needed it a bunch of times. Like, that thing was trash. So good riddance. But they were long. They were around for a while. Just in the shadows.
It was funny seeing Codeless come back on Dread. And he's like, oh, well, I don't know what's going on, but it's definitely not LE. It's definitely not an exit scam. And I was like, dude, if you just said you don't know what's going on, how can you say it's definitely not anything?
It's because it's the same guy. It's the guy that's running it.
See, that theory, that makes sense. Yeah, that I could get behind.
Well, yep. I know, because I used to hit him on the message mods, and I'll talk about one subject, and they could carry the conversation on, but it hit me up a different name. I was like, whatever, man. But they went down, good riddance, but they were around for a long time. And then when I turned in those bugs, the guy said, like, man, I've never even had like $5,000 in the central wallet. I was like, man, what have you been doing? What have you been doing, man? Like, you've been around for like 4 or 5 years. Why aren't you popping? You got to do something.
Yeah,
I did catch him on that Cypher Market canary bounty a bunch. So they really stopped paying it because I was like, I would set little timers. You didn't know, like, oh, check Cypher's canary. And then I'd go up there and blast it on Dread. Like, where's my $500?
I'm happy to see them go. Yeah. Yeah. So the next thing we had in line was Archetype hitting 420,000 users.
And you did a really good in depth video on them.
And I still have a bunch of markets that I want to do. It's just like that style of editing, man. It takes like that video was 3 weeks of editing. It was brutal. Yeah. Brutal.
You were telling me, was it like for every, was it hour? It's like for every 5 minutes, it's like 2 hours of editing or something like that.
Yeah. So it's like for 5 minutes of heavy editing. And like, I'm not an expert, which is probably why, but for every 5 minutes of video, on that video, it was 10 hours of actual time that it took to edit 5 minutes of video,
right,
which was just like, it was nuts.
I mean, I think when it's all said and done, I don't think they're going to, well, hopefully they're not going to exit, I don't think. But if you know how the admin came onto the scene. All right, so there was this market, Pax Romana or some bullshit. There's a guy named Benedict Parisi or some shit. And he was going around DDoSing everybody. Keeping everybody down. And keeping his little bullshit market up. And the first time I really even known or heard about Yusef, he got into it with him. And then like a couple days later, you see the post by the who's now the Archetype market admin saying like, I hacked Pax Roma and just dumped a bunch of fucking like usernames and passwords, and you see the comments like, yeah, that is my password right there. And he had a bunch of people, you can see the comments. And then the next day, and this is how you could tell he's a good guy. The next day, he was like, dude, if you show me the password, I can go and check how much you had in your wallet and I'll refund you. And he refunded a thing. So, like, that just tells you about this character. Because if it was me, I ain't doing it. Like, I'm going to keep it, and I'm not even going to talk about it. But yeah, he did the right thing with that. So I think he's gonna go. I think when it all says done, man, like he's gonna end up as one of the tops, like a Mr. Y, an Alpha 2. Dude has serious game and the market's awesome. Better than Cypher. Like if you put Archetype and Cypher together, you can see like quality versus fucking trash.
Sure.
But yeah, so they hit 400K users. So I wonder how long it's gonna be till they hit the 500,000, or if they've already hit it, who knows?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. From my understanding, too, they're also implementing, like, forcing PGP or something. Can you tell us about that?
I don't really know too much if they're forcing PGP, because I don't I don't sell or I don't buy anything.
Yep.
And that's just for real. Like, I don't do drugs. But I don't know. So, like, when I speak with the guy that's just, like, on dread or something. But I do got to say, though, that I think that it could, like, when the end, like, when it's ended done, it could be, like, it has the potential to be the biggest fucking thing ever. The biggest market ever. I think so. It's just by the way that the guy ran it.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. That's a really big shoes to fill.
And the dude, he's smart. He could do it. So, like, I don't know. People got competition, but I think he's going to stay up number one for a long time.
Yep.
And dude has serious skills. You know what I mean? So I think him going around asking people to put bets if he's going to exit scam or this and that. That shit's funny because in his mind, you can already tell he's already going to do it for the long run.
Yep.
What was it I was going to say, though? Shit. But yeah, they're XMR only, too. That's another thing. And then, yeah, the guy's cool. There was a fucking an article. I was looking him up, right? And it was in like Germany or something. He has a really cool story. And he like had a drinking problem or some shit. And then he fucking took acid and stopped drinking. He stopped and then started doing martial arts and shit. And I was like, I was telling him, Ben, I'm going to fucking try that. And then remember, I told you what happened in Christmas, right? I was like, I don't do drugs, pup. Maybe if I do this, I didn't do acid. I can't trip. But if I was like, man, if I do this mess, maybe I could stop drinking. And I fucking didn't hallucinate it for 3 fucking days. I thought there was people in my backyard with guns and shit trying to come in my house. So I was like, that's making me want to drink more, to be honest.
Yeah, so I've heard about like the people using like shrooms to kick like opiates.
Microdose and stuff.
Yeah. But I never heard about using acid.
A bunch of people say you hit acid and it changed your life. I just can't, like, I get to see, like, me eating that shit and the sun, the fucking sun kisses me and blows up and then I'm just tripping the whole night. It's definitely not for me. But, yeah, man, it's good to see that they're getting up there, I think. I mean, I think drug might give them, they come in the second, it's the supermarket, but I think they're going to keep it number one for a while.
Yep.
Hey, man, hats off to Yoshi. He's a cool dude. If you ever get a chat with him, he's pretty chill.
Yep. Yeah, I had messaged him originally telling him, hey, listen, man, I'm doing a video on your market. And he responded back. He's like, cool. I think he asked if I have any questions to let him know. So I like that transparency. Like if it's not something that's time pressing, a lot of times I will try to reach out if I'm talking about someone or something that I can have some verification with. Because then at the end of the day, like when you go back, if you say something that was inaccurate, if you actually got it from a legitimate source, you're actually quoting them and it's not just speculation. Sometimes, especially in the darknet, you have to speculate. Yeah. But if I can avoid that, I will.
But it was cool. I know him and the Monopoly admin and shit used to, like, they were kind of the same, like, same thought, like we're going to do this shit the right way. No BTC. PGP encrypt everything. For a while, I don't, like, when they first started, they wouldn't even sell in the United States. And I don't even think they do cards or digital products. I think they're just strictly media stuff. But, like, yeah, so watching them evolve and stuff has been pretty trippy. And I don't know. Hopefully, everybody can cash in on the not exit or not bust, because Fauci's going to cash in on those bets.
Yep. So on the site, the Darknet Discussions site, I say a BTC operator pleads guilty to money laundering. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah. Do you not remember? Were you around when BTC? It was like Alpha Bay, Silk Road days, like between that era. Did you ever see it?
No. I'm not a fan of exchanges.
Well, this was like after Mt. Gox and shit. And like there wasn't really that.
MOT, yeah, Mt. Gox, yeah. I heard of them.
There wasn't too many exchanges out. But the cool thing with them is if you can get an okay pay card, which is like only, you can't get them in the United States, but if you go out of the United States, get one, or you have like some family members or something, send you one that's activated, then you could put your money on there and then go straight to the card up to like 10 grand and just go straight to the. So it was like, before the BTC ATMs, before all that. So this is like back how people used to wash the bread, like when everything first started kicking off.
Yep.
And they got him, what was it? They got him in Greece for Cyprus. And dude was trying to get extradition back to Russia. And dudes, they didn't let him go. They didn't let them motherfucker go at all. So they kept him there. And then, like, I guess that's, I didn't know that he got fucking shipped over here.
Yep.
So he shipped. So there's, like, if you think about it, man, there's all kinds of people in the fucking, in the prisons that's all dark knit up and stuff. Like, you got Ross, Penis Smith from Alpha Bay, he got 20 years. You got this guy, got this super evil. We'll talk about that later. But it's just like, I guess as it's growing, you can kind of see like, you know, all these people catching all these crazy And the thing is like, I don't know. I'm not saying, what did they give them? What was it like? I know Monopoly got 13 years.
Yep.
I mean, would you weigh everything out and stuff? Like, if you think about it, man, people get more time and stuff for guns and like having to switch on the gun and stuff. You'll get like,
sure,
15 to 16, 20 years. But if you run a darknet thing and they gave up 13, but you think he told? You think, I always said that when Monopoly got busted, he was going to tell on everybody because he'd always bring out these fucking folders. Tell and then show you that all the stuff, all the conversations he had with you. So there's tons of conversations and shit. And they probably got all that shit. And I don't know how I got back onto him, but yeah, man, it sucks, man, because BTC was awesome. And I'm still in my feels because when they shut it down, I had a bunch of money. So I took a loss on that back in the day.
I tried to stay away from exchanges. I think when I would swap crypto, it would be like with way back in the day. No, after this was Changely.
Oh, Changely.
He's Changely a lot. But like, because it was another one that I was looking at, and I remember going in and I tried to read the TNC of all of them. And when I looked at the other one, they were talking about like open cooperation with the DOJ, and I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yes.
Yeah. And but like, you know, like they're all gonna do that at the end of the day. That's why I think the decentralized exchanges that we're seeing crop up now almost kind of like left and right. If you like, I see on my Twitter feed, I see decentralized exchanges all the time, which is a whole other topic. But I think there's like, it's like battling drug trafficking for all those years, then the inception of the darknet markets, and then crypto. It seems like anytime, it's like the battle between the locksmith and the thief, where anytime you put so many blocks against a certain thing that's almost inevitable, there's always going to be a way around it that people are going to come up with and almost invent it,
right?
You know, this loop around to search for that freedom of like, no, like, you're not going to stop me from, you know, doing what I want. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. The one thing I will say is like the comparison between the amount of darknet criminals in a institution versus regular criminals is incredibly disproportionate. I would say like, I could tell you for a fact that like, for me, it's like maybe 1 to 1,000. So like, you have, let's say, 1,000 guys in an institution, just because it's a round number, 1,000 guys in an institution. At when I last looked up the BOP statistic, they said around 70 to 75% of people that were incarcerated were there for narcotics. So 750 of those dudes are, in some way, shape, or form, there for drugs, whether it's using, selling, distributing, whatever. One of them would be a darknet guy.
Right.
So the implementation of encryption and the use of Tor or ITP or whatever it is you're using is I think it's a massive differential in terms of likelihood of being caught.
Right.
And that's not even like the ultimate OPSEC, because you definitely, I mean, I've read about vendors who have gotten, heroin vendors who have gotten life, and like they were ordering buckets of fentanyl directly to their house and sending from their house and using the return address of their actual apartment. Like,
blockbusters.
So, yeah. So I didn't, now you got life. So how's that? So it's like, but my point is like, as dumb as you can be on the darknet, it's almost crazy because even a dummy on the darknet is going to be almost 1,000-fold more safe than the most careful person in real life. I mean, just from seeing from an incarcerated person's standpoint, seeing the amount of drug offenders that are in there versus that were using the darknet versus the ones that were using the darknet.
Yeah, I just kind of miss the old days where you would like sell a DB through a fucking e-gold exchange and box of money that'd show up to your drop. That was the days.
But you know, that evolution, like that, those evolutionary periods where crazy things happen. And then you have the counters of law enforcement or whatever coming in and switching things up. It's like now I think I see a lot more. I think the first XMR market only that I ever saw was Libertas. And someone told me there was a Libertas 2 that came out. It was cool.
Was it that fucking... I don't know, that admin that used to talk to like aliens. There's a really fucking trippy admin.
I think so.
He was like, yeah. ITP he's only.
It was like green and black. Libertas.
Yeah, dude, that's the fucking guy that used to like talk to the fucking aliens and shit. That dude was fucking on one for sure. For sure. But his site was fucking tight. Like his site was perfect.
It's definitely interesting though to see that progression of where people almost think like nostalgic ideas of like Bitcoin and how it's safe, it's secure, and then like they start to realize as we go further on down the line, now that we have like AI looking into BTC transactions and being able to find almost networks of money laundering using AI and blockchain analysis, right, versus like switching it up and using some like XMR.
I'm like thinking about the old days and shit. One time I was like walking to the train or something, and there was like this abandoned house and stuff. So I would get my drops and stuff. One day I'm walking by and all these fucking cop cars all around and shit. And fuck, they're raiding and fucking drop, like kicking in an empty house and shit. Like, that was like when I was like 16, you know what I mean? But like,
where?
Back then, it felt like a little easy. Now, people like, I don't know why anybody would use Bitcoin anyways nowadays, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's worthless. Like all the everything, the fuzz and the dazzle and shit, it's trash, man. Now it's just like corporate America money. And I'm like, I'm over it.
Yeah, it's kind of like seeing the progression of the cannabis industry, turning it from like the local small guy grower who grows in his basement to having it be corporatized by these massive corporations. And now it's like a kind of a soulless industry. You know? But what's crazy is like, I mean, I could still like on the darknet, I could still source better, cheaper cannabis than I can at the dispensary down the street from me.
I mean, you can even, like, nowadays they got the THCA. That is?
No.
All right, so THCA, they sell it. This is, like, the weed you get in, like, non-legal states, but they grow it in such a way where if you light the fucking bud at, like, 250-some degrees, it decarbs and then turns it into THC. So, like, right now, you can get some, I mean, but, like, that's the thing, like, what's not going to stop like all these darknet vendors from selling a bunch of bunk ass THC bud just to like
bad reviews?
Yeah. I don't know. Some of that shit gets you hot. It gives me a headache. I can almost smoke that fucking shit. But I do like how it has the Texas attorney general like all up in arms and shit, because like they there's a loophole and they can't fucking fix it. And it's not just like it. All the, like, around the South and stuff, that all those, like, you see all the senators and stuff, or whatever, just tripping over it. You know what I mean? When they found out, like, oh, I just got to light this shit. Or even like those, the vape pens. Like if you hit the vape pen, at some point you're breaking the law, but if you're not hitting the pen, you're not, right?
So, yep.
All right, well, that was my little rant on that.
So I think the next thing that we had was the Revo affiliate sends.
Yep. So some of us had to wait in the long lines and gas for those because of those dudes. Had to sit in the gas lines for like, because they locked up the national infrastructure. They locked up the whole pipeline. I think you,
yeah, I
think
did that when I was locked up.
When you're locked up,
yeah.
Let me tell you, man, it was, you ever hear the stories about like the 1970s and stuff when people like ran out of gas? Like there was, you could get gas on Tuesdays and the lines were so long at the gas stations. It was like, man, what a bunch of assholes. I think it's cool until it has to affect me. It's a minor inconvenience. And I'm like, well, yeah, fuck these guys. But yeah, man, they got 13 years just like Monopoly. And yep. They literally locked up the whole entire national grid infrastructure. They locked it up.
Yeah.
The one of the crazy things, especially with sentencing that I've seen, like I've seen dudes steal $26 million and get 2 years. And I've seen people get popped with a half a key and get 15. And it's just that disparity of like, if I was to go back and I was to be like, all right, I'm going to be a criminal. What am I going to do? What's crazy is like that disparity of like this guy, you can go out and make millions of dollars through stealing from a credit card company or whatever you're going to do. But like, then you have a guy who sells too much cannabis or sells some coke or something or like. And we're not talking about like Pablo Escobar. We're talking about maybe a couple thousand and the exponential amount of time that drugs can get you versus that white collar crime, which is also investigated exponentially less in comparison to narcotics. So like I always point that out to people. I'm like, damn, like nowadays, if you want to be a criminal, you're almost better off just doing fraud stuff. If you're in it to make money.
It's really big in the hood nowadays. Like, back in the day, like it wasn't. Now you see like rap videos and shit. People like on their scamming flex and shit. It's wild. But do you think the sentencing's upon the judge? Because one time, I gave my friend had to go to court,
mm-hmm.
And his last name was like with a T or something. So they go alphabetically, and I'm like sitting back there, and the judge is like off the muscle, handing quarters out, like 25 years, yep. 10 years. I was like, yo, we can get out of here now. Get your warrant. Come back when the judge isn't fucked up. You know what I mean? Because that judge right there is going to hand you some crazy shit. We just might as well catch the warrant, make the police do their job, find you. They'll just come get you at your grandma's house so everyone knows it. And then you just come back in with a new judge. But is it up to the judge?
So federally, they have guidelines. You have a United States Sentencing Guidelines, which is like it's a tome. It's a massive, massive book. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. They do have mandatory minimums for some stuff. And then the other thing is like, it's not even just the actual crime, right? Like I go, I steal something. I have this thing. There's a million different ways. If the crime for stealing that thing is 5 years, there's a ton of different ways that they can actually give you 20 because they have these things called upward departures and downward departures. And you have way more upward departures than you have downward departures. So for example, like with my case, selling like drugs and stuff as like a darknet vendor, one of my upward departures for selling drugs was called mass marketing, or when you use the internet to aid in drug trafficking. That was like a 3-point upward departure. And then I had another upward departure for being a leader or organizer because I was the head of my criminal conspiracy. That's another upward departure. So that an upward departure could be anything from a few extra months to a few extra years in terms of sentencing. So like when I first got popped, I had 10 counts. So you could have upward departures for each one of those.
And run concurrent, or what is it? Not concurrently, but the other one where you have to do every charge.
So consecutive. Yeah, you have consecutive and you have concurrent. And like what the feds used to do is like if you got caught with drugs and a gun, they would basically, to sum it up, they would say, okay,
for the drugs. Here's 10 years. Hold that. But you also had a gun, so we're going to tack on another 5 or 10 years because of the gun. Right. And they would do what's called stacking, where they would just keep adding up like, time.
And the gun was stolen, so take a 5 for that. And then you modified it. Sure. There's another fucking 10.
Yep. So, like, you would have all these things that stacked up or added up the sentence. And I think there's a case that came out called Booker, where they actually got it, where they stopped doing that. But I don't know if they made it retroactive. So, like, if you're already serving 70 years because you had a key of coke and a couple guns, if that affected the dude in there. But I know that there were guys who had stacked charges who later on filed a compassionate release, and they said, listen, like, we get the law wasn't made retroactive, so it doesn't affect us, even though I've been doing 20 years for this 40-year sentence. We get that it's retroactive. It's not retroactive, so it doesn't actually, it does nothing for me. I was already sentenced.
Right.
But under compassionate release, I can say these are extreme circumstances, and the fact that I have to do another 20 years isn't justified, when if a person did the same thing right now, they would only get 20 years.
Right.
Like, that person's already done 20 years, then another 20. And the judge then is enabled to be able to say, yes, I'm going to resentence you because you filed this compassionate release motion. And it has nothing to, like, they can't, like, a federal judge can't just say, hey, like, I give you, Roach, I'm going to give you 10 years. Boom, you get 10 years. Now you're off of prison. He can't just say, oh, what? I'm going to change that and make it 5 years. In a lot of cases, there has to be a reason for him to be able to resentence you. And you give him that ability when you file things like a compassionate release motion.
And that compassionate release was, like, only during COVID? Because, like, from what I hear from, like, other people, it was like a little play. He was like, during COVID, it was easier.
So it existed before COVID, but the ability for you to bring it to a court prior to COVID was only if the BOP brought it to court for you.
Right.
They're never going to do that. They get $125, according to the Federal Register, they get $125 per day per inmate.
Wow.
So, in other words, if you're a correctional officer, whether you're a lieutenant, whether you're a nobody, whether you're the warden, and you work at prison ABC, if you lose 50 inmates, that's a big deal. Like, if they get taken from you or transferred or released, you're talking 50 inmates, that's $125 a day. What are you losing a year?
And don't you got to pay to be in jail? Like, don't you got to pay?
No. I mean, like, you're gonna have to work. Like, they're going to mandate that you have a job, which is going to pay 12 cents an hour. It's going to pay basically nothing, and you're going to be forced to be there. But, like, so let's say you have a fraud case, right? And I had a buddy who got hit with a restitution of 50-something million dollars on a massive credit card fraud case. And the judge didn't like him, so the judge ended up hitting him off with, like, 25 years. So this kid's been down for about 15 years at this point, but he ended up, like, nonviolent, just skinny, scrawny, a pencil of a kid. And they sent him off to, like, this brutal medium security prison. And he was transformed relatively quickly from, like, this paper pushing fraudster to, like, a stone cold gangster. Like, he's a straight through and through convict at this point. But they gave this kid $50 million in restitution. So what that means is, like, the past 15 years, he makes, like, 11 or 12 cents an hour at his job that he works at for 4 to 6 hours a day. He was doing laundry when I knew him. He's doing laundry and he's getting paid 12 cents an hour. And what's happening is the BOP is taking the lion's share
of his 12 cents.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. So, that's fucked up. You know, so what is he left with, like, four?
You know,
Yeah, so I mean,
might as well throw me in the hole at that point. I ain't working.
Yeah, and trying to buy a ramen noodle soup that's say 50 cents, that's a big expense to a guy like that. And then like if I'm like, okay, well, whatever, like let's say the guy has family, I'm gonna send my cousin in $100. Well, they're gonna say, oh, well, we're gonna garnish 75% of that. So you can have the 25%, but we're gonna take 75% of that for your restitution. Now, you can refuse it. You can say, no, you're not taking anything from
it.
And what'll happen is they'll put you on restriction. It'll make it so you don't get good time.
Like they freeze they freeze your commissary.
Well, no, not even freezing your commissary. Like you can still get stuff, but you're going to be on restriction. So you're not going to be able to spend as much and you're going to lose like a lot of advantages, like the ability to get all of your good time. Is going to be one of them. And like, if you're doing 25 years, losing your good time, that's a big deal. Especially because like, you're already in feds, you're already mandated to do 85% of your time. There's no parole. So that's not going to happen. So like, when I see like a news article and they're like, oh, this person got federally sentenced and they got sentenced to without the possibility of parole. I'm like, no one has the possibility
of parole
in the federal
system. You got to do every day of it, huh?
It doesn't matter. I mean, what it is. Now, like, since COVID, like, to answer your question, yeah, it did get significantly easier to do a compassionate release because now the people who make money off the people who are incarcerated, vis-a-vis the BOP, and, like, their jobs are dependent on that, by the way. So if there's a massive reduction in federal prisoners, that's a serious job security issue to a prison guard,
right?
Which means the reverse is also true. If I'm a prison guard and I don't like you, getting your good time stripped from you means you could be here for an additional decade, depending on what your bid is. You could be here for a lot longer, which again, just it's job security for that person. So it's a really backward system. But my point is like the amount of ways that they can screw you over is pretty much infinite in this particular context.
So it's Uncle Sam just sticking his finger up your ass all day. Fuck.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's craziness, but that's what it is. And again, like every prison is different. So you might go to one prison, and you might be there for 10 years, and they might not give a shit. They might not garnish anything. And then you might go to another one, and they might try to take almost everything and put you in shoe. If you don't comply.
Right.
So it can be absolutely insane.
To work for your fucking 3 cents or you go in the shoe.
Yeah, and like you will work or you will go to shoe. And that's kind of the whole point. Now, if you're like me and you're like, hey, I don't want to work for this corrupt system, you could be an orderly. And like if you're an orderly and like your job is to clean the bathrooms, you could just be like, hey, listen, you talk to someone, you'd be like, hey, listen, I'll give you $10 in commissary or whatever, you do my job for me. And you can pay someone to do your job for you.
I heard that's what Harvey Weinstein's up in there doing. He has. He's got everybody like folding his clothes.
Yeah, it's not expensive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It doesn't take much, man, because like there's not much in that environment. So, I mean, again, it's like 11 cents an hour. So it's like everyone that's there is hustling in some way, shape or form. Like, and I don't mean like selling drugs. They do that too, don't get me wrong. But like it could just be
haircuts,
like
haircuts and shit.
Haircuts is a dude who makes cards, custom cards, like I mean I did pop outs and like all kind of shit, man. Like I mean like you there's a million different, especially if you're in a place where in my opinion, compared to a state institution or county jail, there was more intelligent people. Again, that's subject to the prison you're at, the people you're around. That same thing could be absolutely completely different for another man who is at the same prison in the same unit at the same time. But there's no solidity in that environment. There's, you know, again, you go to a different prison, completely different things, or you're in a different car, or it's just a different staff. Everything can be subject to be changed very, very quickly.
Oh, I kind of wonder what the Monopoly guy is going to do for his hustle. Maybe like magic tricks for soups. We'll pull the quarter behind
could
the
be
ear.
That. he could go and he could study law, and that could be his hustle. If he's if you're technically adept, right? Like, you might learn the coding language of law.
Right.
And that's a great hustle.
Yeah.
You know, I know guys that write compassionate release motions and they're that charge $750.
I'm like a real lawyer.
Yeah. Except a real lawyer is going to charge you 20 grand.
Yeah.
So a paralegal is going to charge you 2 to 5, maybe 7 for a compassionate release motion. A jailhouse lawyer is going to charge you significantly less. I mean, I know guys that would do it for a couple packages of stamps, $40 to write it. Of course, you get what you pay for. Is that too? You know, but the guy who's gotten 20 people out on a compassionate release motion, he's probably going to charge a good amount, or he's going to do it for free. I've seen both.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I'm looking at a guy that I'm going to try to get on the show, a guy named Daniel Rigmating, who was locked up. He was doing he was filing IRS income tax returns in California on dead people.
Yep.
But they locked him up. And while he was locked up, he was looking at all his shit, and he found out about the Stingray program, where they set up the Stingray, and it's kind of like a man in the middle with the cell phone towers.
Yep. Cell towers, yep.
And that's how they caught him. And then when he found out and he was pressing it, they just like, yo, you can just get the fuck up out of here. We'll let you go. Just don't talk around. Don't bring up the Stingray shit no more.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can get him on and maybe a couple other people from the old carding day. The Carter's Market, Shadow Crew stuff.
Yep.
I mean, all those guys are out selling butts, calling fun. He's like selling butts and like he's like a speaker and stuff.
That's cool, man.
You got any other projects coming up?
So I'm working on a couple of different things. I have a new series, which will be, it'll start this Tuesday, but every week I have probably out almost a year now. So from this Tuesday onward, every week I'll be automatically publishing a very short video, under 60 seconds, of a different onion that exists out
there. Okay, that's cool.
A lot of them are frauds, right? Like, there's like, so for example, one's like an Amazon card site, and it's just like, pay us 75% whatever you want the Amazon gift card for. And like, I definitely wouldn't be buying an Amazon gift card from this random onion.
Hell no.
So, but it's like, I think I did 175
right
so far. So each 175 videos that I'm planning to have set where they come out, it'll be every Tuesday for at least a year, probably 2-3 years at this point now with the amount of content that I've made. And then I have another series that I'm creating, which implements different tools. Like, one's Blackbird. It's like OSINT tool. A lot of the tools that I'm going to be showing are for OSINT or Darkint, which is darknet intelligence, open source intelligence gathering for the darknet, and showcasing ways in which people can use tools, specifically containerized tools. So like I think the first one's doing darknet searches with a clean search engine, meaning it's not going to bring back any CSAM or child abuse or sexually explicit material. So like, if you wanted to search the darknet, you could do that and you can get the description, you can get the onion, and you can get the title of the site. So if you want to search for something, it's going to be clean. You're not going to be exposed to anything messed up, and there's no pictures in the search. So, and that's a containerized, that's a Docker file. So like with that tool, we walk through the setup of it and the execution of it so that someone can see how these OSINT research tools actually work and how they can be applied in a safe way for use on the dark web. It's all going to be probably in Linux Mint because I love Mint. And I already know there's going to be people like, why isn't it going to be on Unix or Tails? And it's like, because it is possible on Tails. I did some research into it. But it's because like that would be a video all its own. And like, there's going to be, like, that's not really the use case for Tails.
Yeah. A lot of false positives.
So yeah, so that's probably the one I'm probably most excited about. And then the market analysis, I still want to do that. I want to. And what I've been doing is I've been trying to catalog these sites. That way, if they go down, I can still
do an analysis, even if they're down and out. And then I got some other stuff coming with some interviews.
Yeah, that's the way I can't wait for the interviews.
The way that you explained it to me, I think the concept is going to be like, I'm always down with people doing fresh new stuff. So the concept of the way that you're going to do the interviews, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really amped about that. I think it'll bring to life a lot of characters that are out there that really, even if they're known about, they're not really humanized. And I think the way in which these interviews will be conducted will humanize some of these people, or some of these legends, because some of these people are really interesting individuals. Yeah. Like, but I think the first one I'm setting up is with Hug Bunter. I'm really excited about that, because I've known him for 6-7 years now, some craziness like that. So, I mean, I knew him back when you had the Darknet Market section on Reddit.
So I've been a pain in his ass all up until fucking like maybe last year, 2 years ago. I kind of just walked away and started going to school and stuff. But yeah, man, Hug Bunter is a really funny and chill dude. I really like that guy. Especially now, I'm not a pain in his ass and like pressing him every day for something, because I'm a pushy motherfucker sometimes.
I mean, I love freedom of speech. So I love the fact that like you had a ClearNet site that was like, no, your community's not welcome here. And he was like, I know there's like a ton of mixed comments, especially on my channel. You're like a Scrooge, Dred sucks. And like, that's cool. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I love the fact that you have someone who a whole community got obliterated. They just got demolished in overnight with no warning. And there's someone that was like, hey, man, screw that. I'm going to go set something up over here and we'll do our own thing. And
yeah,
that's exactly what happened. So.
Him and the Vulcan, I call the Vulcans Paris. Because if you ever talk to him, you got to talk to him like you're a Vulcan from Star Trek. It's only logic, no bullshit.
Sounds like a developer. Yeah. Almost all developers are like that I've talked to.
And then the good old the moderation team, Stinky Beats. Shout out to Shaky Beats and all that. Yep. Solar. I don't even know him really. I don't want to talk to him, but like Shaky and the rest I talk to. But yeah, man. All right. Well, this was fucking awesome. I can't wait till next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's gonna be an editing challenge.
This one.
Yeah. So it'll be fun though. It's new. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's gonna be the thing. But yeah, man. So. And in closing, I would definitely say what's the site that you have that you talk about, like recent news?
Oh, this Darknet Discussions. I'm just trying to with Darknet Live getting sold to Pharaoh and just poisoning the whole fucking news well. Then if we're gonna do something different, man, with this shit, like I'm gonna try to make it more entertaining, not so fucking like. I'm here to make money off the fucking links and shit. Like, I'm not even into that. Like, I want to have, like, legitimate coverage of, like, interesting people, interesting things, and try different things. Like, you know, we're going to have the videos on there, so people want to watch specific Darknet videos or something on post. And just, like, keep up with the news, but also not, like, dude, this guy got arrested over here, this guy got arrested over here. By the time you're on your fifth story, you're like, fuck, man, this shit's bumming me the fuck out.
Yeah. Like,
this fuck this shit. Like, I'm like, fuck, man. I'm just, everyone's getting arrested out here. But
it's crazy, too, because when you look at it from like a global perspective, when they're, even if they have the like the Spector where they're grabbing hundreds of people, even that, it's such a small fraction of the actual people that are actually active and engaging in business globally anyway.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to keep it ClearNet. Like, it's a publication, right? And it's not really...
Yeah.
It's not really meant for... It's really like when you're taking a shit and you're reading about the Darknet, or you're in your car and you want to listen to something, or you're sitting on your couch, got finished beating off or something, and you, like, blow up your phone, like, oh, this is a new story or something. Like, something way different. And then I feel like I could reach more people on the ClearNet than the dark web.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And, just keep people informed. Like, it's not all a bunch of fucking child predators. And
yep.
That side is not even the darknet. That's just some old other shit. Like, that's, I have never once accidentally clicked on a fucking CP site or anything. Shit's not the dark. Like, this shit over here is what I consider the dark, man. So,
yeah, and I think that's one of the major misconceptions that they have out there. Yeah.
So I'm, there's going to be no chomo shit. There's going to be, if somebody is snitching on some or anything, or even on the podcast, if somebody's a known snitch, we're not talking. There's just certain ways we're going to go about this, and it's going to be like fun, entertaining, but we're not going to have all the fucking trash and all the no good dudes. Yeah, there's plenty of them out there. So, but yeah, man, everybody stay tuned, and hopefully my writing gets better.